Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
We welcome everyone to the program. My name is J. Paul Newman. My usual co-host, District Attorney Jennings Jones, and former District Attorney General William C. Weitzel, Jr., will not be with us today, but they will both return for our next broadcast. Filling in today for Bill and Jennings are four very special guests. We're thrilled to have with us Belmont University law students Nathaniel Sherman, Graham Davis, Camera Bacon, and Rebecca Hanna. As always, we appreciate WGNS providing the airtime. And we thank our producer, Nick Cohen. Most of all, we thank you for listening. In our Cold Case Profile segment, we will discuss a case that occurred in 2009. It is the murder of 24-year-old Cedric Herbert. In our Inside the Court segment, Nathaniel Sherman and Graham Davis will tell you about recent and upcoming grand jury, general sessions, and circuit court activity. And in our What's the Law segment, Camera Bacon and Rebecca Hanna will tell us about the death penalty in Tennessee. You will find this segment to be both interesting and educational. Before we begin our normal broadcast, it is with great sadness that we pay tribute to Metropolitan Nashville Police Officer John Anderson. John Anderson's life ended tragically yesterday in the early morning hours of July the 4th, 2019. Officer Anderson was on duty and was en route to assist another officer when his car was struck by another vehicle. The impact took the life of Officer Anderson. Officer Anderson had been employed with the Nashville Police Department for 4 years. He was a valued member of the department. It is ironic that Officer Anderson was also a member of the department's drill and ceremony team. As a member of that team, John Anderson represented the Nashville Police Department as he attended the funerals of fallen officers. We offer our sympathy and our prayers to John Anderson's family, his friends and fellow officers who are his brothers in blue. Officers John Anderson's service is to be honored, and his memory is to be cherished. May he rest in peace. We will begin the broadcast after you listen to these important messages.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Now more than ever, count on WGNS.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Don't let fleas and ticks get the jump on your pet this spring. Here at Animal City, we carry a full range of supplies to keep your pets protected. Animal City is open 7 days a week. When you come see us, don't miss our underground level with all of our small animals, our adoptable cats, and so much more. This is Amanda from Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hot and humid weather. Stay ahead of the game with an air conditioning tune-up from Precision Air. A tune-up's an affordable way to ensure your system's ready for the cooling season. Precision Air, celebrating 25 years of service. Call Precision Air, 615-834-3777. Online at precisionairtn.com.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
This is Inside the Courts. A look at this month's trials, pleas, and grand jury action. Inside the Courts is presented as a courtesy of the Rutherford County Clerk's Office.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Nathaniel Sherman. I am joined in this segment by Graham Davis.
We are students from Belmont Law School, and this spring and summer we have been interning at the Rutherford County District Attorney's Office. Today, we will be your tour guides as we take you inside the courts. We begin this segment by stating that none of the defendants named in upcoming trial or hearings have been convicted, and, of course, they are presumed by our law to be innocent. With that as a prelude, we will now go inside the courts.
On March 31st, 2017, the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office began with an investigation into the death of 49-year-old James Whitehead. James Whitehead's lifeless body was discovered inside of his home on One Mile Lane in Rutherford County, Tennessee. On April 2nd, 2017, Detective Kyle Norod obtained a warrant and arrested Wilson County resident David Easer on a charge of first-degree murder. On Monday, December 3rd, 2017, David Easer's trial began in the courtroom of Judge David Bragg. Representing David Easer was Nashville attorney Scott Saul. The state was represented by Assistant District Attorneys J. Paul Newman and Eric Farmer. Assisting in the prosecution was Belmont Law School intern Carla Kraft. During the trial, the jury heard the following testimony: that David Easer had struck James Whitehead in the head at least 7 times with a sledgehammer. That after Whitehead had been rendered helpless, David Easer could hear him gurgling and making noise. To stop the noise, David Easer took a knife and cut the throat of James Whitehead. Easer followed that attack by stabbing James Whitehead in the stomach. On Thursday, December 6th, the jury returned with their verdict. The jury found David Easer guilty of first-degree premeditated murder, especially aggravated robbery, first-degree felony murder, aggravated burglary, and tampering with evidence. Following the jury's verdict on the murder charges, Judge Bragg sentenced David Easer to life in prison with the possibility of parole. And on February 8, 2019, Judge David Bragg sentenced David Easer on the remaining convictions to an aggregate sentence of 20 years. That 20-year sentence will be served consecutively to the life sentence previously imposed. On May 23, 2019, David Easer was back in court. Easer was requesting that Judge David Bragg grant him a new trial. Following the hearing, Judge Bragg denied Easer's request. David Easer was 47 years old when he killed James Whitehead. To be eligible for parole, David Easer would have to live to be 115 years old.
32-year-old Jared Parton's trial date, which had been set for May the 20th, 2019, will be reset to a later date. That date should be selected when Parton appears before Judge David Bragg on August the 9th, 2019. Jared Parton is charged with the first-degree murder of his girlfriend, 29-year-old Carly Hassett. The case was investigated by Detective Steve Craig of the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. Hassett died from a shotgun wound inflicted at her home on Millersburg Road in Belbuckle, Tennessee. Parton will be represented at trial by Murfreesboro attorney Scott Kimberly. The state will be represented by Assistant District Attorneys J. Paul Newman and Dana Miner. Jared Parton is being held in the Rutherford County Jail awaiting his trial.
Lamoris Jones' trial date of June 24, 2019 has been temporarily removed from the trial docket. A new trial date will be selected on July 5, 2019, when Lamoris Jones appears in the courtroom of Judge David Bragg. On May 4, 2017, the Murfreesboro Police Department began an investigation into the shooting death of 23-year-old Jesse Beauford. Jesse Beauford was shot at the student headquarters apartment here in Murfreesboro. The shooting was captured on videotape. On May 6, 2017, Detective James Abbott arrested 19-year-old Lamoris Jones in Jackson, Tennessee. Jones is charged with first-degree murder. At the trial, Jones will be represented by Nashville attorney Wesley Clark. The state will be represented by Assistant District Attorneys J. Paul Newman. Presently, Lamoris Jones remains in the Rutherford County Jail awaiting trial.
30-year-old Garion Simmons has a trial date set for the 16th of September, 2019. The trial will be presided over by Rutherford County Circuit Court Judge David Bragg. Simmons is charged with stealing a Cadillac Escalade from a Manchester, Tennessee funeral home on the 24th of June, 2019. Simmons is accused of fleeing the police in the stolen Escalade from Manchester, Tennessee to South Church Street in Murfreesboro. The chase reached high rates of speeds, and videotape showed Simmons driving on the wrong side of the interstate at various times. The chase ended tragically at the intersection of South Church Street and Veteran Parkway when Simmons crashed into other vehicles. In the crash, Jessica Campos was killed when her car was struck by the Cadillac Escalade driven by Simmons. The Escalade also struck a vehicle driven by Katrina Sadler, who suffered serious injury, including a broken arm. At the trial, Gary and Simmons will be represented by Murfreesboro attorneys Luke Evans and Heather Parker. The state will be represented by Assistant District Attorneys J. Paul Newman, Sean Puckett, and Brent Pierce. Simmons faces charges that include first-degree murder, vehicular homicide, felony theft, evading arrest, and DUI. Gary and Simmons is currently in the Rutherford County Jail awaiting his trial. The trial is scheduled to last for 2 weeks. Pre-trial motions on the case are set for July 12, 2019.
54-year-old Martin Benito Montemayor is scheduled to appear in General Sessions Court on July 22, 2019. Martin Montemayor is charged with first-degree murder. On March 31, 2019, at approximately 3 a.m., the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to the Montemayor home in the 400 block of Sunset Avenue in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Once inside the home, they discovered the body of Martin Montemayor's wife, 53-year-old Judith Montemayor. Judith Montemayor had been killed by knife wounds that she had suffered at the hands of her assailant. Judith Montemayor was the manager at Donut Country, located on Memorial Boulevard. Following the initial investigation, Murfreesboro Detective Jacob Fountain charged Martin Montemayor with the murder of his wife, Judith Montemayor. Martin Montemayor will be represented at the hearing by Rutherford County Assistant Public Defender Ben Wetzel. The state will be represented by Assistant District Attorneys J. Paul Newman and Trevor Lynch. Martin Montemayor is also being held for a Texas parole violation on two prior murder convictions. Martin Montemayor remains in the state custody at Rutherford County Jail, awaiting his hearing.
On July the 26th, 2019, 18-year-old Deontay Morris Wade will appear before General Sessions Judge Lisa Ishid. Wade is charged with reckless homicide. The charge arose from an investigation into the shooting death of Carmen Elias Simmons. That investigation began the night of March the 13th, 2019, when Wade called the police and requested that an ambulance come to the 400 block of 4th Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. When the Murfreesboro police arrived at the scene, they discovered that Wade's girlfriend, Carmen Simmons, had been shot in the face. Carmen Simmons was transported to St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. After interviewing witnesses and processing the scene, Murfreesboro City Detective Doug Arrington charged Deontay Wade with reckless homicide. At the hearing, Wade will be represented by Murfreesboro attorney Ben Parsley. The state will be represented by Assistant District Attorney J. Paul Newman. Deontay Wade is presently released from custody after posting a $75,000 bond.
The Murfreesboro Police Department is requesting your help in involving the shooting death of 25-year-old DeCorey Saunders. The night of June 24, 2019, DeCorey Saunders was shot to death in the 1300 block of Eagle Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Murfreesboro detectives have now obtained murder warrants on two men they believe are involved in the case. These two men are presently at large, as efforts to locate these two have thus been unsuccessful. The two men's names are Delarius Dwayne Crawford and Quandre Knowles. If you have any information regarding the murder of DeCorey Saunders, or you know the whereabouts of 29-year-old Delarius Dwayne Crawford, or the whereabouts of Quandre Knowles, please contact the Murfreesboro Police Department. The number to call is 615-893-2717. You should not attempt to approach either of these two individuals. Both men should be considered armed and dangerous.
Three people have been arrested connecting to the killing of Terry Barber. 68-year-old Terry Barber was tied up and strangled at his home on Walnut Grove Road in Christiana, Tennessee. Barber's phone and wallet were then stolen from his residence. The medical examiner determined that Terry Barber died from the strangulation. 20-year-old Devon Jacob Gailey, 21-year-old Brent Donovan Ross, and 39-year-old Renice Darlene Farrar will appear before General Sessions Court on August 7, 2019. All three are charged with first-degree murder, aggravated kidnapping, and especially aggravated robbery. Detectives believe that the three suspects knew Barber and that the attack was not random. Police have stated that more suspects may yet be charged.
On December 8, 2016, Murfreesboro police located the body of Francisca Gomez Cordero in a wooded area off of Elam Road. Francisca Gomez Cordero was a Hispanic female. Based on their investigation, Murfreesboro detectives have now filed charges against Romulo Hernandez Mayorga. Mayorga has thus far eluded capture. If you have any information regarding this case or the whereabouts of Romulo Hernandez Mayorga, please contact Detective Doug Arrington of the Murfreesboro Police Department. The phone number to call is 615-893-1311. Again, that phone number is 615-893-1311.
Nathaniel and Graham, can both of you share with us some of the recent changes in Tennessee law?
There is a new misdemeanor law for cockfighting paraphernalia. The crime carries a possible sentence of up to 11 months and 29 days in jail.
All failure to appear in court are now a Class A misdemeanor. Class A misdemeanors carry a possible jail sentence of up to 11 months and 29 days in jail.
In another revision of existing law, possession of contraband in a penal facility for drugs has been reduced to a D felony. A D felony has a possible sentence of 2 to 4 years in prison.
The punishment for bringing a cell phone into a penal facility has been increased to a D felony. A D felony is punishable by a sentence of 2 to 4 years.
In DUI law, DUI 5th is now a D/F felony. A D felony is punishable by a sentence of 2 to 4 years. Also, when calculating the DUI offense number, the court shall now consider all vehicular assaults, aggravated vehicular assaults, vehicular homicides, or aggravated vehicular homicides.
In the area of new firearm laws, theft of firearm now carries a mandatory 30 days to serve.
In search warrant law, chancellors and state court judges now have statewide jurisdiction to issue search warrants.
It is now a Class A misdemeanor to violate a no-contact order issued to a domestic violence victim as part of a disposition on any criminal court. The crime carries a possible sentence of up to 11 months and 29 days in jail.
Violation of an order of protection now has a mandatory minimum fine of $100. The maximum fine remains $2,500.
Remember, no handheld cell phone use while operating a motor vehicle. Hands-free use is still okay. A violation of this law is a Class C misdemeanor and is punishable by a sentence of up to 30 days in jail and or a fine of up to $50.
We have a new statute making prohibiting using a phone or other electronic device to obtain information from the elderly regarding their medical history or health, and then sending them unsolicited medical supplies or prescriptions to them in order to file a claim. A violation of this law is a Class D felony. A D felony is punishable by a sentence of 2 to 4 years.
Possession of over 15 grams of fentanyl is now a Class B felony, which carries a possible sentence of 8 to 12 years in prison. And if the amount is over 150 grams, that is a Class A felony, punishable by 15 to 25 years in prison. This law applies to all derivatives and or analogs of fentanyl.
The knowing sale or distribution of a substance containing an opiate with the intent and premeditation to commit murder is now an aggravating circumstance for the imposition of the death penalty or life without the possibility of parole.
A conviction for aggregated rape of a child now carries a sentence of life without the possibility of parole.
The loophole in the child exploitation laws that prevented a jury from considering whether or not a picture provided sexual arousal or gratification to the defendant has been fixed. Rather than the objective standard, it is now a subjective standard. This law reflects what the defendant finds to be arousing or gratified is not the test. The test is what the average person would reasonably find to be for arousement or gratification. This change in the law was created for the photography of a minor who has a reasonable expectation of privacy, is depicted in a state of nudity, and a picture was taken for the sexual gratification of the defendant.
There are new Class A misdemeanor and Class E felony offenses created for withdrawing, transferring, or altering a child's school enrollment with the intent to hinder an active child abuse or child neglect investigation.
The statute of limitations for the prosecution of second-degree murder has been removed. There already is no statute of limitations on first-degree murder, and now there is no statute of limitations for second-degree murder.
And our last change will be, we will address applies to a case in which the death penalty was imposed. Any appeal goes directly to the Tennessee Supreme Court rather than the Court of Appeals. This change of law should shorten the time period between the conviction and the imposition of the sentence.
That concludes our look at some of the recent changes in Tennessee law.
Before we conclude this segment, I'm going to ask Nathaniel and Graham to provide us some of their background. We will start with Nathaniel Sherman. Nathaniel, tell us about yourself.
My name is Nathaniel Sherman. I attended Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee State University. I got a major in economics and then a minor in psychology. I then proceeded to Belmont Law School in order to pursue a law degree and a career in law.
And what are you doing now?
Recently, I have worked at the Murfreesboro District Attorney's Office as an intern under J. Paul Newman as my supervising attorney. I am proceeding to look for more internment or employment opportunities for the rest of the summer before continuing at Belmont Law School.
Next, we bring to the microphone Graham Davis. Graham, share with us your background.
My name is Graham Davis. I double majored in political science and history at High Point University in North Carolina. And like Nathaniel, now I go to Belmont Law, and I also interned for J. Paul Newman this summer, which has been a really rewarding experience.
I want to thank both of you for the great work that you do, not only in our office, but on this broadcast today. And that concludes this look inside the courts.
Broadcasting to every nook and cranny of Rutherford County's 618 square miles. FM 100.5, 101.9, and AM 1450.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here this afternoon with a blend of clouds and sunshine developing a high around 90 and winds out of the west around 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 72.
Good morning. Traffic still holding up out here as far as interstate accidents, delays, a lot of radar. You're going to see that all weekend long, as a matter of fact. Up and down I-24 right now. It's moving right along here at 840 Elmaville Road and 41 inbound Murfreesboro Pike still looks good. If you're buried in credit card debt or student loan debt, learn how you can reduce that debt to a fraction of the cost. Call 1-800-380-4293. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Broadcasting from the tallest tower in the city with that little red light on top. FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the 4th of July sale at Ace. Right now, buy one, get one 50% off on gallons of our top paint brands like Valspar, Clark & Kensington, and Magnolia Home Paint. And with our Ace Extra Mile promise, we'll help you get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Don't miss the 4th of July sale at Ace. Buy one, get one 50% off our top paint brands. Now through Monday. Limit 2. Delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for details.
Ever wanted to speak another language? Babbel can get you confidently speaking Spanish, French, or German within weeks.
I just started learning Spanish with Babbel, and it's really helping my pronunciation.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas? Ha ha, I got it. I wish I had tried Babbel sooner.
See why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com to try for free.
Consumer questions, money concerns, and more right here.
Consumer Warrior Clark Howard, weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Have you been getting most of your money advice from your brother-in-law? Maybe you need Dave Ramsey.
The Dave Ramsey Show, 1 to 4 on WGNS, Rutherford County's place to talk.
Every homicide, every rape, every robbery affects the entire community. People who are victims of these crimes need closure. The people who committed these crimes must be held accountable. Law enforcement needs the community's help in seeking justice. Please listen as we review an unsolved mystery in this month's Cold Case Profile.
On June the 15th, 2009, at approximately 9 a.m., the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a frantic call from an apartment complex on East Northfield Boulevard. The nature of the call was a possible burglary. When officers arrive at the scene, they see that the apartment door has been kicked open. Once inside the apartment, they meet the lady who called the police. She told officers that she lived in the apartment and that earlier that morning she was in her apartment with her small child and Cedric Herbert. She went on to say that at about 8 a.m., she left the apartment and took her child to daycare. Cedric Herbert remained in the apartment. She then told the police that when she returned to her apartment, she discovered that her apartment door had been damaged and forced open. She also made a shocking discovery. She found the body of 24-year-old Cedric Herbert. The Murfreesboro Police Department processed the crime scene, and they determined that Cedric Herbert had been shot to death. In the weeks that followed, the police developed a working theory. Investigators believed that someone had forced their way into the apartment, and once inside, Cedric Herbert was shot and killed. They also believed that robbery may have been the motive. According to family and friends, Cedric Herbert had a large sum of money on him the day before the murder. That money was never located. It has been over a decade since the body of Cedric Herbert was discovered. Why he was killed remains a mystery. His killer or killers remain at large. The Murfreesboro Police Department continues to investigate. No family should have to suffer the loss of a loved one to criminal violence. The person who killed Cedric Herbert must be held accountable. As long as murder cases remain unsolved, our community must face the reality that a killer remains free. Free to be a part of our community and free to possibly kill again. If you have any information regarding the murder of Cedric Herbert, please call the Murfreesboro Police Department. The number is 615-893-2717. That number again is 615-893-2717. Or if you wish to remain anonymous, you can call Crime Stoppers at 615-893-7867. Your information may entitle you to receive a cash award of up to $1,000. The family and friends of Cedric Herbert need your help. They need answers, and they need justice for Cedric Herbert. When we return, Belmont University Law School students Camera Bacon and Rebecca Hanna will tell us about the death penalty in Tennessee in our What's the Law segment.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Bazing and Elite Checking from First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives you more reasons to bank locally.
Dad, I'm at the movies and my car won't start.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Bazing has free 24/7 emergency road service.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, 615-494-4200. This is Freedom Morgan from First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
Consumer questions, money concerns, and more. This is Clark Howard, and I'll take your calls on Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS. What's the law? Time now for an examination of the laws of Tennessee. This is not intended to be legal advice and is being presented solely for the informational benefit of our listening audience. You should always consult with an attorney whenever you need or rely on legal advice.
During this segment of the broadcast, I am joined by two very impressive young ladies from Belmont University School of Law. They are Camera Bacon and Rebecca Hanna. I'm going to ask each of them to introduce themselves. We will start with Camera Bacon. Camera, please tell us about yourself.
Good morning. My name is Camera Bacon. I'm 25 years old, and I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. I got my Bachelor of Arts in English in May of 2017 from Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee. I am currently a rising 2L at Belmont College of Law. I have been interning with Mr. Newman this summer at the Rutherford County District Attorney's Office, and I'm very excited to be here speaking with you this morning.
Now we welcome to the microphones Rebecca Hanna. Rebecca, would you please share with us some of your background and experience?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rebecca Hanna. I am 23 years old, and I am originally from Tampa, Florida. I went to undergrad at the University of Alabama, where I majored in English and Criminal Justice, Roll Tide. Like Camera, I'm also a rising 2L at Belmont Law and have spent this summer interning at the district attorney's office. Thanks again for the opportunity, Mr. Newman.
In this segment, we will be talking about the death penalty in Tennessee. Rebecca and Hannah have researched and found some interesting facts about the death penalty. Rebecca, will you start out by providing us a history on the death penalty in Tennessee?
Sure. We want to begin by saying that this information was obtained from the Tennessee Department of Corrections website. The methods for administering the death penalty have changed over time. Before 1913, the method used was death by hanging. In 1916, the method became electrocution. In 1998, lethal injection became the method for offenses committed on or after January 1, 1999. Offenders who committed their crimes before 1999 have the option to choose between the method of lethal injection and electrocution.
Camera, were there any years in which the death penalty was not being administered in Tennessee?
Yes. Between the years of 1913 and 1915, there was no death penalty in Tennessee. Additionally, from the years 1972 to 1978, there were no inmates on death row because the Supreme Court declared the death penalty unconstitutional. The death penalty became legal again in 1978.
Rebecca, we want to talk now about the death row today. How many offenders are currently housed on death row awaiting execution?
There are 56 offenders on death row today. 55 of them are male and one is female. Of these offenders, 26 are white, 28 are African-American, one is Hispanic, and one is Asian.
Camera, what localities in Tennessee are these offenders from?
38 of these offenders are from the largest metropolitan counties in Tennessee. 36 are from Shelby, 5 are from Davidson, 4 are from Knox, and 3 are from Hamilton. None of the offenders currently on death row are from Rutherford County, might I add. Also, the last offender from Rutherford County to be executed was Albert Dubois in April of 1947.
Rebecca, when was the last execution in Tennessee?
The last execution to take place in Tennessee was on May 16, 2019. Donnie Johnson was put to death by lethal injection for murder 1 at 68 years old. Johnson was sentenced to death for the 1984 murder of his wife, Connie, in Memphis. Johnson suffocated his wife by stuffing a 30-gallon trash bag down her throat.
Camera, how much does it cost to house a prisoner at the Tennessee Department of Corrections?
In the fiscal year of 2017 to 2018, the average cost per day to house a Tennessee Department of Corrections offender was $79.06, including those housed at privately managed facilities. And the cost to house a death row offender was $109.69 per day.
Rebecca and Camera, do you have any other interesting statistics about today's death row inmates?
Yes, we do. The oldest person currently on death row is Leonard Jasper Young. He is 74 years old and has been on death row since November 2002. Young was convicted of first-degree murder in Shelby County.
Another interesting fact is that there is only one female on death row right now. Her name is Krista Pike, and she is 43 years old. Pike was convicted of first-degree murder in Knox County, and she has been on death row since March of 1996. When she was 19, Pike murdered and tortured Colleen Slemmer, who was also 19 at the time, because Pike thought Colleen was trying to steal her boyfriend from her. Pike bashed Colleen's skull in with chunks of asphalt. Pike also took a piece of bone as a trophy. She was arrested 2 days after committing the murder.
While on death row, where are these offenders housed?
The male offenders on death row are housed at Riverbend Maximum Security Institution in Nashville.
And the only female offender is housed at the Tennessee Prison for Women in Nashville.
Are there any offenders with multiple death sentences?
Yes, there are several. There are currently 7 offenders with 2 death sentences and 5 with 3. One man named Jesse Dotson has a whopping 6 death sentences. Dotson was sentenced to death for murdering 6 people, including his brother and 2 young nephews. One was as young as 2 months old. He also attacked his 9-year-old nephew, but he survived and was able to identify Dotson as the killer. Officials estimate that the bodies were in the house for 40 hours before they were discovered by police. Dotson was present in the home the night that the police arrived.
Cameron, what is the demographic of death row inmates in Tennessee?
According to reports from July of 1916 to May of this year, there have been 86 African Americans and 49 whites on death row. 36 offenders were on death row for rape, 96 for murder, and 2 for a combination of rape and murder.
Presently, can you receive the death penalty for rape?
No, today you can only receive the death penalty for first-degree murder.
Rebecca, can you tell us, what is it like living on death row?
Well, inmates on death row have a much stricter guidelines for their housing, supervision, and visitation, especially during death watch.
What is death watch?
Death watch is the 3-day period prior to execution where the prisoner is under 24-hour surveillance. During this time, the prisoner is placed in an 8-by-10-foot cell near the execution chamber.
The cell the prisoner is held in has a metal-framed bed with one mattress, one metal desk with a metal stool attached to it, and one metal shelf. The cell also has a shower, a stainless steel sink, and a toilet, as well as one small window that provides a very limited view of the prison's grounds.
Cameron, in the terms of the actual execution, is anyone allowed to witness the execution?
Yes. Eligible witnesses include immediate family members of the victim who are at least 18 years old, the warden of the prison or the deputy warden, the sheriff of the county where the crime was committed, the offender's spiritual advisor or the prison chaplain, the prison physician, attendants deemed necessary by the warden to carry out an execution, up to 7 members of the media, the condemned offender's immediate family, 1 defense counsel chosen by the offender, and the estate attorney general or designee.
That concludes this segment of the broadcast. When we return after this short break, you will be listening to more of the Action Line on your good neighbor station, WGNS.
Get your good neighbor events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here this afternoon with a blend of clouds and sunshine developing a high around 90 and winds out of the west around 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 72.
Good morning. Traffic still holding up out here as far as interstate accidents, delays, a lot of radar. You're going to see that all weekend long, as a matter of fact. Up and down I-24 right now. It's moving right along here at 840 Elmaville Road and 41 inbound Murfreesboro Pike. Still looks good. If you're buried in credit card debt or student loan debt, learn how you can reduce that debt to a fraction of the cost. Call 1-800-380-4293. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
From the WGNSRadio.com News Center, a local news update with Ron Jordan.
Jeremy Jernigan, who has more than 2 decades of experience in the waste industry, has been named general manager at Middle Point Landfill. Jernigan returns to Middle Point from Indiana, where he was general manager of several waste facilities covering Emmitsville, Wabash, and Kokomo, Indiana, as well as Western Kentucky. Higher ed insights firm College Factual ranks Middle Tennessee State University's liberal arts offerings among the top 50 universities in meeting the academic needs of student veterans. The website recently released its 2019 rankings for best liberal arts general studies program for veterans, ranking MTSU number 41 out of 355 for veteran friendliness of all colleges and universities reviewed by College Factual. Hillary Miller, director of the Charlie and Hazel Daniels Veterans and Military Family Center at MTSU, says the high rankings reflect the university's organic support for student veterans over many years. Authorities say a man drowned on Normandy Lake Thursday. 62-year-old Thomas Speltz of Hazel Green, Alabama, went beneath the water about noon, his body discovered about 10 o'clock that night. Coffee County Sheriff's Department says witnesses say Speltz had Parkinson's disease, and they're unsure if that contributed to his drowning. Senator Lamar Alexander reflecting on living in the United States. He posted a video to Twitter on Independence Day saying we're privileged to live in America. He said living in America is too often taken for granted. Alexander said the 4th of July is also a time to remember the men and women of the U.S. military who are serving overseas. When news breaks, we tweet it. Just follow us at WGNS Radio or at facebook.com/WGNS Radio. I'm Ron Jordan, News Radio WGNS.
On air, online at WGNSradio.com. On the go with our mobile apps. News Radio WGNS, Rutherford County's most trusted source for local news.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
This is Clark Howard on WGNS.
We need to have a talk here. You know the problem? Well, you go to a doctor, and when you get into your appointment with him or her, he or she will start recommending things to you. And you just sit there quietly and nod, and you say, yes, doctor. But then you leave knowing you're never doing what the doctor has said he or she wants you to do. And it's not because you're not taking care of yourself. It's because you can't afford whatever the doctor's saying you should do, but you were too embarrassed or whatever to tell the doctor that you can't afford it. And so here's the thing. You're not helping yourself, and you're wasting the doctor's time. So if you're going to see a doctor and you're being told you need to do something, just right then and there tell the doctor, I'd love to, I can't afford it. And with prescriptions, make sure you take a cheap prescription list like the Walmart one with you, and ask the doctor to write from that if that's what you can afford.
Have you heard what President Trump said recently?
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too. I like it too.
Now you can watch Newsmax TV and get the truth about Trump from Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, and more. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing cable news channel, now in 70 million homes. Find Newsmax on DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Spectrum, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, and more systems. See Newsmax TV today. It's real news for real people.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
On this broadcast, we have had the honor of presenting to you four law school students from Belmont University School of Law. Those students are presently interning in the Rutherford County District Attorney's Office. They are there because of the Belmont University School of Law internship program. For several years, Belmont has partnered with the Rutherford County District Attorney's Office by providing our office with the highest quality of law school interns. Those interns assist in analyzing, evaluating, summarizing, and computerizing our office's most complex cases. They are especially involved in the preparation of homicide cases. Because of their hard work and expertise, the Rutherford County District Attorney's Office is better prepared to serve the citizens of Rutherford County. We want to recognize and say thank you to Belmont University Law School, and we specifically thank the Dean of Belmont University School of Law, Dean Alberto Gonzalez. Under his leadership, Belmont University School of Law has become nationally known and recognized as a premier destination for students seeking the highest quality of legal education. We also want to thank Lisa Doster. Lisa Doster is the Director of Career and Professional Development at Belmont. Each year, Director Doster invites legal agencies to the Belmont campus to meet with the students and to discuss internship opportunities. It is during this visit that our office is able to recruit high-quality interns, interns that assist our office in seeking justice. We also want to thank Dean Ellen Black. Dean Black is the director of field placements. Dean Black was a moving force in establishing a partnership with our office, and we are very grateful for her efforts. Finally, we want to thank Victor Torrey Johnson. Torrey Johnson is a professor of law at Belmont. He also supervises the interns that are placed in our office. Torrey Johnson is the former Nashville District Attorney. He served the city of Nashville with integrity and distinction, and he continues to serve those traditions at Belmont University. To Belmont University School of Law, the Rutherford County District Attorney's Office expresses its gratitude and sincerely thanks you for all that you do in improving our educational and legal community. Before we close out the show, I would just like to give some of you students an opportunity to talk about Belmont and what it's like going to law school there.
This is Cameron Bacon speaking. I would say my experience so far at Belmont for my first year has been nothing short of wonderful. It's been stressful being in law school in general, but the faculty is very kind. They're very helpful, and I've had a great experience so far, and I can't wait to go back in the fall.
Does anybody else wish to say anything?
This is Rebecca Hanna speaking. I just want to say that I've really come to love the close-knit community, and I feel like all the faculty members, as Cameron said, are very, very attentive, and they care a lot about your success.
Nathaniel, can you give us about 20 seconds?
Yeah, I'd like to agree with Rebecca that the community is fantastic. You hear a lot of horror stories about law school, about, you know, cutthroat competition, but Belmont is really not like that at all. Everyone's really helpful and friendly, and it's very cooperative rather than competitive.
And Graham?
Again, I echo everything that was just said. Really close-knit students, we support each other, the faculty supports us, the staff supports us in every way that we can, both inside and outside the classroom, and that is a really special experience at law school.
As we end our program today, we want to thank our special guests from Belmont Law School, Nathaniel Sherman, Cameron Bacon, Rebecca Hanna, and Graham Davis. We thank WGNS for providing the airtime, and we thank our producer, Nick Cohen. Most of all, we thank you for listening. Our next scheduled broadcast is Friday morning, August the 2nd, at 8:10 a.m. on your good neighbor station, WGNS. We leave by saying, a safe community is the responsibility of each and every one of us. For Bill Weitzel, Jr. and Jennings Jones, this is Paul Newman, bidding all of you a safe and blessed day.